on the Civic Media Radio Network, moving Wisconsin forward one joke at a time. This is As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
And so it goes,
and so it goes,
and so it goes,
and so it goes.
But where it's going, no one knows.
Hello, Wisconsin!
Now, filling in for the new mom, here's Jane Matinere.
Good morning. Welcome to As Goes Wisconsin. Thank you so much for joining us on this blustery November day. Greg Bach is with me in studio. Calvin's on the board, and our friend and colleague Todd Alba joining us on the stream. Good morning, Todd. How are you?
Jane, Greg, Calvin, I am outstanding. It is Thanksgiving week, and I get to start it off with you fine people right here. It couldn't be better.
Well, that's so nice of you. Thank you so much for joining us. Remember, you can always listen to Todd's show right after As Goes Wisconsin. He kicks off at noon until 2 o'clock. A fine, fine program, I must say. And I do listen to.
You're too kind. We appreciate it. I listen to you guys when I can.
Well,
I listened a little bit early. I started my day in beautiful Richland Center, home of WRCE and WRCO. I was helping mom get ready for Thanksgiving later on. And so I got a little bit of a late start. So I snuck in the studios here at Madison under the wire, but I made it. So I listened to Earl on the way in this morning.
Earl's got a big giveaway today. He's doing a turkey giveaway.
That's right.
Yes.
And from noon to 3 o'clock, and they're expecting at least 200 people, I think. So
fantastic.
It's really a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful event. An event that was not so wonderful, we're going to start with, and I saw this over the weekend, and I had to rub my eyes for a minute to actually acknowledge that this is reality. So we had neo-Nazis marching in Madison on Saturday. There were about 20 of them wearing shirts labeled Blood Tribe, a growing neo-Nazi movement that believes in white supremacy, according to the Anti-Defamation League. Madison police reportedly monitoring the situation. The department said in a Facebook post, no weapons have been displayed, and there were many calls to 911 to report the group. Again, it wasn't a large group, but I find this immensely disturbing.
Let me just start off by saying, when I first saw this, the video and the photos, I got very excited because I thought that a production of The Producers had come to town at the Overture Center, and I thought the Mel Brooks musical is in town. This is fantastic. But no, it turned out it was 15 or so schmucks from who knows where, and It's just absolutely disgusting. But you know, that's what they are, right? They're schmucks. They're disgusting human beings, and you know, anybody who could find any sort of semblance to justify Nazism, you know, I don't have any time for you. And I think it's more than disturbing. But what I was really heartened by was the number of people, particularly in Madison, and our elected officials in Madison, and our governor, and other people that called this out immediately and denounced it and repudiated it and said, you know what, there's just no room for any of that, not only in the city of Madison, but in the state of Wisconsin.
And this was bipartisan condemnation, from what I understand.
It was, and I want to be very fair and very careful. What I'll simply say is the speed with which Democrats and Democratic elected officials repudiated this was within minutes, if not within an hour or so. Because I was driving and stuff this morning, I want to be fair, I haven't checked all of the Republican leadership socials.
Right.
As of last night, when I went to bed at 11:30, very few had done the same. And I just find that disappointing.
Yeah.
And I don't want to insinuate that there is support for that. I'll just simply say I'm disappointed in the lack of speed in repudiation of it.
Well, we live in a world of now there are bad people on both sides as a credible argument to make for things. And first of all, I think, Todd, nothing I think would make a neo-Nazi angrier than being called a schmuck. Just the most Yiddish insult there is. Give it to him. But I wanted to talk about this really quick, and I spoke with Jane about this before the show today, and I'm not going to name names. I'm just going to give the context of what was said, and it was said something to the effect of, look at this group of people, a group of neo-Nazis carrying flags with the swastika on it. Look at them. There are barely any of them. It's not that big of a deal. But yet when people are marching in support of things like Palestine and the Palestinian people who are being killed and things of that nature, why aren't we causing a big ruckus? Why aren't we calling them out for being supporters of terrorists and things like that? And I'm thinking to myself, one, nice, good, that is a solid whataboutism. Solid, good job. That's your lane. Mm. But also, if you say something like, oh, there's just a few of them, well, are you saying then to me and to all of us, it's not that big of a deal. It's only a few of them, so who cares? No, these are men in, like, uniforms carrying flags with an agenda and a message, and they've been emboldened. And also to some of the Republican leaders who have, quote-unquote, denounced them, if you are a MAGA January 6th defender, Donald Trump supporter, you are a part of this problem in as much as you've allowed them to have a voice where they get to do this. Before this, before 2016, we didn't see people in like this marching down the streets of Madison or really anywhere. But because
we live in after Charlottesville.
Yep. Because we live in a world we live in where some people are good and some people are bad and both sides have problems. Now they get to do this. And so your words of condemnation, if you are a supporter of the industry that is the MAGA universe, your words are nothing to me. They mean nothing because you are part of the problem.
844-967-2789. We're talking about the group of neo-Nazis marching through Madison on Saturday, carrying flags with swastikas, shouting anti-Semitic phrases. I guess what always stands out to me when this happens is what cowards they are. Except for two of them, from what I understand, except for two of these marchers, everybody else has masks on because they're so brave. Yep. And if you believe in this message and you believe that, stand by it then, man. Come on, let me see show your faces. If you are embracing this kind of ideology, what a bunch of chickens.
Yeah, schmucks. And to what you were saying, Todd, as far as like the slow response from some leaders, you know, we're in a time right now where there's a lot of politicians throwing down their, we got to protect Israel by all measure, by all standards, by all means. That's it. They are the number one, like, we have to protect them. That's some people's stance. If there are neo-Nazis screaming anti-Semitic statements on the streets of the capital of a state, that's pretty anti-Semitic. That's pretty against Israel. Where is your indignation and your words? Where are you? Where are you? Mm-hmm. So it's just, yeah, it's.
It shouldn't be difficult to condemn neo-Nazis.
No.
It should not be, no.
It's not. It's very easy to do.
Look in the mirror.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's, watch Indiana Jones. Nazis. I hate Nazis. There, boom. It's done. You know, it's not difficult.
Yeah.
I will say, just to pick up on what Greg, what you said, and I want to walk very gingerly here.
Yeah,
I want
absolutely.
To be very clear. I think that all free speech, you know, free speech is free speech, right? Mm-hmm. And even free speech that we find repugnant, like what happened over the weekend. I will say, in terms of, you know, I'm not Jewish of the Jewish faith. I have several friends that are. And I will say, and I think our colleague Anya has spoken about this. She was in D.C. last week. You know, there is a rise of anti-Semitism in this country.
And around the world.
You can't deny that. Mm-hmm. And around the world. And I think that some, and I want to emphasize the word some, not all, some, who have been, you know, part of these pro-Palestinian, but it goes beyond that to almost embracing Hamas, has made it very, the feeling, at least here in Madison, on campus amongst Jewish people, Jewish students, has been fearful. And I think that when you have the lack of distinction between, look, I think people have every right to have a protest of free Palestine and pro-Palestine, and I've condemned in our show any loss of innocent life. I happen to be one that believes that Israel has a right to defend itself. I also think there should be pauses for humanitarian aid, and I think there should be, you know, as minimal or no loss of civilian life as possible. But I think that some of this rise where people get confused between pro-Palestine and pro-Hamas has given a greater, more oxygen to this feeling of anti-Semitism. I'm not saying that those protests caused the Nazi protests. I'm not saying that. I simply say that those of us who have Jewish friends, those of us who have people in our lives of the Jewish faith, I think hopefully as we enter Hanukkah here in a couple of weeks, that we're particularly sensitive to what that segment of our world and our society is going through.
I don't disagree with that. And I have a lot, I have great many friends who are of the Jewish faith, whether it's religious or cultural, and I can't think of any of them off the top of my head who are 100% for the Israel. They love Israel. They do not like the Israeli government, and I sure, think there's been this message that's been pushed by certain leaders of, you know, just saying, oh, this person is defending Palestine, they're pro Hamas. I think the problem is there's a lot of misinformation now too, and people who are pro-Palestine are getting painted as pro-Hamas. So it's a really, like as you said, it's a really hard line to walk. But at the end of the day, you know, for me personally, we talked about this last week. I just said, I'm all for innocent people not being killed. I'm all for people being safe. And that's really weird that that's a statement that can get me in trouble. People will be like, well, you're anti this, or you're pro this. I'm like, no, I just don't want people killed.
Right.
And I want people to be safe. And I want people to have a home. Freedom. Like, we're,
and what do you think? And what do you think in the world today? The one thing we should all be able to rally around is our hatred for Nazis.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's a pretty easy one.
I used to think so. It certainly used to be. But again, I think after Charlottesville and the whole very fine people on both sides has led us to this point now where we have neo-Nazis marching around downtown Madison. 844-967-2789. We will take your calls. When we get back, stay with us. You're listening to As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network. Good morning. Welcome to As Goes Wisconsin. Jane Matinere in for Kristen Bry. Calvin's on the board. Greg Bach with me in studio. And Todd Alba joining us on the stream. If you are watching the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, or Twitter, you can always leave a message or a comment, or you can call or text at 844-967-2789. We're talking about 20 neo-Nazis marching around Madison on Saturday, carrying swastika flags, yelling anti-Semitic tropes, and I just don't understand how we can't just all automatically condemn this behavior. It's bad, and they're a bunch of cowards. They're a bunch of cowards. If you believe in this ideology so much, then at least be brave enough to show your face and show who you are. 844-967-2789. Karina from Milwaukee is on the line. Good morning, Karina. Thank you for holding.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I'm coming from, I grew up in Soviet Union. And even though the propaganda that there is no racism, and it's really not, but that Jews still hated, and until 1995, I still received yellow stars, even though I'm half Jew, and that's why I ran away from the country who actually put the stamp in me. I'm more than that. My mother is Jewish, okay? And according to the Nazi, I mean, all my family went to World War II, and we lost a lot of people. And it's still a painful reminder. But as of to say in America today, neo-Nazi, you are numb-nut inbred. Just inbred.
Sorry.
That's it. You don't have enough marbles to ding in your brain to understand that there is the echo of a history where you don't want to go. Thank you so much.
I think we should just end the show right there.
I'm glad you got that off your chest, Karina. No, thank you so much for calling. I really appreciate it.
Numbnut what?
Inbred numbnuts?
Yep, numbnut inbreds without the marbles.
Yeah. Mic drop.
Correct. Yeah, right.
Mic drop, absolutely. Texter from the 715 asked, did this happen anywhere else in the country? Not that I'm aware of. But
it seems like Madison was the only place that was reported, at least.
But this has happened in other cities, certainly, with this same group, this blood tribe.
Blood tribe, good God.
I want to make a quick point, if I can.
Of course.
Anna Kelly, who is one of the communication people for the National Republican Party, tweeted out yesterday after this happened. She said, quote, just a few blocks from where I used to live in the quote-unquote inclusive city of Madison. Absolutely disgusting. Somehow insinuating that Madison tolerates this or this is part of inclusivity. And Josh Clemens, who I follow, is a local Madison political guy here in Madison. I want to give him credit for this because I thought he nailed it. He said, quote, implying that Madison supports this is in any way repugnant. All of Madison Twitter is horrified by this, and more importantly, this disgusting display was not local. When it ended, they loaded into a U-Haul and drove away into darkness.
Yeah.
And I thought that was a really important point because, to my earlier point, some of the first people that repudiated this was the Chancellor Jennifer Mnuchin of UW-Madison, mm-hmm. Mayor Satya Conway from Madison,
yep.
Mark Pocan, who represents Madison, Tammy Baldwin, U.S. Senator. All of these people, Madisonians, Democrats, by the way, well, Mnuchin, she's independent, but all these people immediately repudiated this. And I guess the U-Haul van had Kentucky license plates, but we all know that doesn't necessarily mean they were from there, but clearly these people were not from the Madison area, and I'm not even sure they were from Wisconsin. They just picked Madison because I suppose they knew they would get a lot of play.
So that the tweet that she wrote, quote unquote inclusive, I'm confused. Is she upset that they were there, or is she was slamming Madison?
She appears as, again, this is Anna Kelly, the GOP comms person, national GOP comms person. She seemed to be saying to insinuate that because Madison always talks about inclusivity,
right,
diversity, equity, inclusion, that somehow Madison then wants to include Nazis as part of inclusivity. That's the insinuation there.
That is so absurd. Good heavens. As you said, Todd. And even the Madison police said they have free speech.
Yes.
They can do this. That means, therefore, they can do this in any city in the country.
Absolutely. And that's they have the free speech. They have the ability. And that's something we have to understand and accept. We don't have to like it. But if we didn't like it, then what's the next thing to be told you can't march? But that doesn't mean... That kind of behavior doesn't come with consequences eventually either.
Well, why these big brave men are covering their faces because they want to avoid consequences, possibly from their employers or friends or coworkers.
Or,
and again, if you believe so strongly in this ideology, then let's see your face, my dude. Come on, own it.
Yeah.
And
complete cowards.
Well, they are. And
numbnut inbreds with no marbles.
If I ever run into any of them, I'm using Karina's line. That will go down in history.
You schmucks are nothing but numbnut inbreds who have no marbles. That's the whole thing right there.
I like it. Well, we could make t-shirts. Some more As Goes Wisconsin
fantastic.
Merch.
Fantastic.
Yep, that's not a bad idea. All right, coming up, we're going to spend just a little time on this exchange between Liz Cheney and Republican Senator from Utah, Mike Lee, on Twitter over the weekend about January 6th and January 6th footage. And then we're going to move on to the Wisconsin Supreme Court's going to start hearing the redistricting arguments. And Todd, this is something that we've talked about before, and it's all about contiguous districts and lines touching and whether or not that should, you know, it's, I find it all.
Lines touching,
lines
you touching, say?
It's the touching of the lines.
Stop touching me.
And the islands in the stream. And then finally, and I know Earl spent a lot of time on this, but I do want to acknowledge the passing of Rosalynn Carter.
Absolutely.
Yesterday at the age of 96. Mm. What an incredible public servant. Both of them.
Oh my gosh, yes.
All of the years they spent with Habitat for Humanity. I mean, Jimmy was doing that well into his 80s.
He was doing it. There are pictures of him doing it from a couple years ago.
And he's in his 90s
as
well.
He's 99.
He's 99.
And he is, when he goes, I dare people to say things.
Oh, yeah, you know them. But you know they will.
I know they will. This is the world we live in, but still. Serious. Okay. All right.
Are you okay?
I'm not okay. I'm never okay, Jane. I'm just not okay baked into a shell of okay looking.
All righty then.
But it comes back to Mr. Rogers, right? His line about, you know, when bad things happen, or I like to say when there's bad people around, look for the helpers.
Yeah.
And I think that that's one of the big legacies of Rosalynn Carter, whether it's mental health or other things. I mean, she was a helper. She was the embodiment of a humane helper.
Absolutely. Yeah. Stay with us. You're listening to As Goes Wisconsin across the Civic Media Radio Network. Good morning. Welcome to As Goes Wisconsin. Jane Matinair in Fort Kristen Bry. Greg Bach is with me in studio. Calvin's on the board. Todd Alba joining us on the stream. And you can always check in if you want to call and or text at 844-967-2789. 844-96.
Party.
Thank you, Greg Bach. Coming up at 11:06, Ellen Borsick, a longtime education reporter for the Journal Sentinel, is going to be joining us. There is a new bipartisan bill working its way through the Capitol that will make it easier for elementary school teachers to get licensed without passing this test on reading. So he's going to explain that in a little bit more detail. So stick around for that. Alan Borsig coming up at 11:06. Right now, though, Liz Cheney and Republican Senator Mike Lee of Utah got into a little war on Twitter over the weekend. House Speaker Mike Johnson has released more video footage of the January 6th attack on the Capitol. And Senator Mike Lee saw one still where he claimed that this person, Kevin Lyons, was flashing a badge while he was in the Capitol, indicating that he was actually law enforcement. Because there are those who believe that January 6th was what? It was the false flag, or it was, all members of the FBI.
The corrupt FBI.
The corrupt FBI and the deep state.
And Antifa.
Yeah.
And
Black Lives Matter.
Some guy I used to be in a band with.
It's just remarkable to me the effort to try and rewrite this history, because I watched January 6th live.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw it happening live.
Me too.
And maybe there were some areas initially where there were just people wandering around in the hallways. That's not how it ended up. And 140 Capitol Police officers were hurt. There were at least several deaths. It
on both sides of the of that struggle.
Yes, yes. And this effort to portray this either it was a peaceful protest and it was just a normal tourist visit, or it was an operation by the FBI and Antifa. Which one is it? It should be one or the other.
I mean, that...
And I also want to point out that more than 1,000 people have been charged with federal crimes related to the attack on the Capitol. Over 600 of them pleaded guilty or have been convicted, and about 600 have been sentenced. So if there were FBI agents among those people who have been convicted, we would have heard about it.
The deep state does its good does its best to cover up the facts, Jane.
It's so 1984.
Well, I mean,
don't believe what you saw with your own eyes. Believe me instead.
But in 1984, they were actually lying to the people. Now this is like the truth. And people are like, well, this isn't true. Yes, it is. And this goes back to what we were talking about Madison. We live in a time and place where people can storm the Capitol, commit several crimes, and elected officials can sit there and go, I'm not sure.
That didn't happen.
Yeah.
Yeah, it didn't happen like that. Shouldn't, but again.
I'm not the brightest bulb of this.
I just go back to, it was either a peaceful tourist visit or it was an attack by undercover FBI agents.
Yeah.
Pick one. Yeah. Pick one reality, because it can't be both.
And I'm not the brightest bulb of the string, as you guys know, but I do know a couple of things. And having worked for a member of Congress and spent quite a bit of time, almost over 5 years, on the Hill, as they say, and, you know, I think part of this, well, it's the people's house. The people are entitled to be there. Only if you go through the proper procedures. What people don't, unlike Wisconsin, like if you come to Wisconsin or if you live in Wisconsin, you go to Madison, go to the Capitol. And this is one of the beautiful things, in my opinion, about our Capitol, is it is open to the public. Anybody can walk off the street on the ground floor, go in, look up at the rotunda, walk around the halls, go directly to your member of the legislature and visit them. I think that's a beautiful thing. But for reasons that I think hopefully we can all understand, it is not that open in Washington, D.C. And in order to visit the United States Capitol, you have to go through a big, long, they built a brand new underground visitor center. You have to get in line. You have to get tickets. You have to go through. There's a guided tour in order to go through the rotunda. You cannot just walk into the United States Capitol. There are fences. There are Capitol police officers. There is security. And so this whole narrative that somehow people, well, they were fine. They were just walking around. The fact that if you were in there without a guided tour or without permission from your member of Congress, an invite, and have an appointment, you're already in violation of being in the building. So to your point, Jane, you're right. There is no way. Anybody who watched this with a brain understands this was an insurrection. There was a bipartisan January 6th committee, Liz Cheney, Adam Kinzinger, neither one are snowflakes or liberals, very longtime conservative Republicans sat on that committee. It was unanimous vote, thousands or tens of thousands of hours of footage was reviewed. It is beyond a shadow of a doubt, to your point, Jane, it was proven in court, this was an insurrection. If you can't agree on that, I can't help you.
And I think part of the reason why it's not that they can't agree on it. It's the fact that if these individuals who are doing the hemming and hawing going, I don't know, it's because they have people in their district that the moment they hear an elected official going, yeah, it was an insurrection and they should be thrown in prison, they're going to be in quote unquote trouble from some group, some lobbying firm, some PAC who's going to run money against them saying so-and-so doesn't believe in freedom and the people's house. Yeah, you know, and so it does them more good to play like, scratching the chin going, I think we need more information than just saying what it is. These are people who should be in jail.
But I think that makes it very dangerous for themselves when you are... If you're going to start embracing all these alternate realities, that can come back to bite you.
Oh, absolutely.
And right?
Yes, I agree with that. I think it's going to come back to bite them in the way that they're not going to get reelected, because also, as we saw with people like Mike McCarthy, or Kevin McCarthy, not Mike McCarthy, I'm thinking football right now, Kevin McCarthy, they're going to have to start pleasing, and to another point, Robin Voss, you have to start now pleasing two types of people in your own party. The people who are just like the regular GOP members who vote for you or business or whatever, and then this other group who, no matter what you do, you're never good enough unless you agree exactly with them, because on the other side, the people are like, yeah, I didn't like Trump, but I voted for him because I'm a Republican. But these people are like, he was sent by God. And if you don't agree with that, we will end your political career.
Well, unfortunately, I think a lot of them are going to have to grow spines. Right. You can't go through your entire political career as a mollusk.
Yeah.
I just, you know, grow some backbone. And at least acknowledge reality, people. We all watched it. We all saw what happened on January 6th. I remember being so really horrified and thinking, where is the help? Where is the help? Where is the National Guard? Where is, you know, it was mortifying. It was like watching a dystopian movie about the future, you know, an America down the road.
Yeah, yeah. Todd?
From what things we know from the testimony from the January 6th committee, Jane, to your point, we now know that a lot of that was intentional inaction on the Trump administration to send in help, number one. Whether there was collusion within the Trump administration, parts of it, keyword parts of it, I think that's also been pretty much proven by this point. But I think this goes in 2024, an observation that I would have is that instead of Republicans talking about what they want to offer on the table for the future for America, here's five things. I mean, whether you agreed or disagreed with Newt Gingrich in 1994 or not, at least the guy had a plan that he shared and said, here's the contract with America. Here's the things that we are going to do for you if elected. The current iteration of the MAGA Republican Party only wants to look back.
Yes.
Only wants to rehash things and keep going back to how they view the injustice. And they're tapping into the fear of everyday Americans who might be disgruntled because food prices at the grocery store are still too high. The positivity of Bidenomics hasn't reached their pocketbook. And so Republicans are tapping into that, saying you can't trust the government. You can't trust the feds. You can't. And this is a narrative. And we've seen this around authoritarianism worldwide. It's this whole narrative that only MAGA can help save you. Mm-hmm. And it's a more diabolical, thoughtful narrative. And I think this is planned out.
Yeah, I guess like when you think about the consequences of speaking out, the two best examples are Adam Kinzinger and Liz Cheney.
And they both lost their spots.
Well, Adam Kinzinger stepped down because I think he knew that there was no future. He didn't want to be part of that GOP anymore. He knew that he was probably going to get primaried out, and Liz Cheney lost in a primary. So those elected officials, those Mike Lees and all those other individuals, see those two and say, I don't want to be like that. I like my position. I like my power. So I might as well go, you know, I just feel like they were taking it. I don't remember who said it, but the one person who said, if you watch the video, they're staying within the roped, the velvet ropes. So they're really following the rules.
Right.
They're being good little boys and girls.
Right. 844-967-2789. Jack from Merrimack joining us. Good morning, Jack.
Yeah, this is, these are characteristics of fascism. I'm sorry, but they are. Retribution against your political enemies, writing history with alternative facts, controlling a major section of the media that's called Fox News. Let's see what else. A leader who says, only I can fix it because the government is totally wrecked. Well, the government's only wrecked because the Republican Party has set out to do that almost since Reagan, certainly since, who was it, Gingrich, that said, we want government so small we can drown it in a bathtub? Of course government is struggling to work. That's part of the whole plan. What's really scary is, if you've read about it, and I think you probably have, this program 2025.
Yes.
Where
basically,
the Republicans intend to take over the election system, the military system, the civil service system, basically every single part of government. You talk about your authoritarian government.
Oh, Jack, I think we lost you there. Thank you for calling, Jack. 844-967-2789.
If we didn't think it'd get any worse, yeah, Program 2025, it's like...
Well, we talked to Joseph Hickey last week just a little bit about this Project 2025. And this, from what I understand, has been put together by various think tanks. So this is kind of an outline for the Republican Party to follow should Donald Trump get reelected next year.
Yeah.
And it's pretty scary.
Yeah. And like when we talk about January 6th, I just think of the Capitol being on fire and the smoke and the flags. And I was at work that day and I remember saying to my coworkers, I think there's something happening right now. And to watch that for what was like another hour or two, 3 hours.
It's about 3.5 hours.
It's terrifying because you're like, okay, are they taking, is this it? I know that they're a bunch of jackboot idiots, essentially, but like, oh, is this what's happening now? When Trump announces at 2 a.m., we're going to get to the Supreme Court and tell him to stop the counting. We won. Is that what's happening now? It didn't happen, but the possibilities feel like they're there. All the ingredients are in place.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, when we come back, we are going to move on. Again, the redistricting case about gerrymandered maps in Wisconsin going before the state Supreme Court tomorrow. So we'll kick that around coming up. Stay with us. You're listening to As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Civic Media Radio Station. This is the Shaw WAUK.
Good morning. Thank you for joining us on As Goes Wisconsin. Jane Matinere in for Kristen Bry, Calvin on the board, Greg Bach with me in studio, Todd Alba joining us on the stream. You can always watch the stream on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. You can also leave comments there, or you can call or text at 844-967-2789, 844-96.
Party. Sorry, I got a dog text. I got a dog text.
You don't have... Okay.
I'm sorry.
They're getting a dog.
Your dog should text?
No, I wish. If I get if I have a dog who texts, trust me, I quit. I'm becoming a billionaire. And also, like that song, I love that song. It's from Craig Ferguson when he was on The Late Show. And I'm sorry, I have.
That's all right.
I lost my place. That's I apologize. It will never happen again.
844-96.
Party.
Thank you very much, Greg Buck. All right. Tomorrow, the Wisconsin Supreme Court will hear oral arguments in a redistricting lawsuit that wants Republican-drawn voting maps to be declared unconstitutional. The redistricting suit filed by 19 Democratic voters from Wisconsin was submitted just a day after Justice Janet was formally on the Wisconsin Supreme Court. Sworn in. Thank you. That's the word. That would be the word. And there's a reason. I would say this case is significant. Wisconsin state legislative maps, and especially the assembly districts, are widely considered to be among the most gerrymandered in the U.S. If you remember, in 2011, the GOP redrew them in a way that cemented an impenetrable majority. In the state assembly, Republicans have consistently won 60% of the 99 seats, sometimes with less than 50% of the statewide vote. In 2022, Governor Evers Democrat won re-election by 3 points, but he only carried 38 of 99 assembly districts. So it's going to be really interesting to see where this goes. Do you have any feeling about this, Don?
I'm just curious to watch it, right? Because this is the culmination, I think, of a lot of what happened back in April and the campaign before that. That certainly redistricting and fair maps was a key component, I think, for people who voted for Judge and now Justice Janet Protasiewicz. And now it's coming true. I mean, now we have a 4-3 liberal majority on the court. This case is the central reason that Republicans were exploring and still have not ruled out starting impeachment proceedings against Justice Janet, even though she hadn't even heard a case, hadn't done anything,
right?
Let alone anything warranted impeachment, because this could completely disrupt the balance of power moving forward, because it's not just a matter of should the maps. So if you're not familiar with the legislature, every other year, all 99 members of the assembly are up for re-election. Everybody goes up every other year. In the state Senate, you go half the, there's 33 state senators, and half are elected in 1 year, and then 2 years later, the other half. So you never can completely throw out the state Senate
right.
from a voting perspective. But if this case goes the way that some people, and we don't know how it will go, but the way that some people think it may, keyword may go, the Supreme Court could find that all the maps that were rewritten last time around are unconstitutional and therefore require all members of the legislature, all 99 assembly people, all 33 state senators to go up for re-election next year, in addition to all Congress people, of course, who are up for re-election every other year. And of course, Tammy Baldwin, U.S. senators every 6 years, her term is up next year as well, and including the president. So this could completely disrupt the balance of power in terms of putting all these people up at the same time. What I'm interested in is the case that these people are bringing, the plaintiffs are bringing, how they're going to argue that, and what the defense is for keeping it the same. Just from a legal perspective, I'm going to be interested in these arguments and then see what happens at the end. And the one thing I'll simply add quickly is, if the maps are thrown out and the Supreme Court then redraws them, I simply hope that they are truly fair maps. I hope there's not an overreach on the other side to make them somehow dramatically tilt towards Democratic candidates. I really want fair maps.
I completely agree with you, Todd. Yeah. And again, I think because of the incredible turnout for Justice Janet, I think most Wisconsinites agree that we want more fair maps, but we don't want it gerrymandered in one way or the other. Yeah. We don't like cheaters. We don't respect people who cheat.
I feel like Jane should have that. You've said that many times, and I don't disagree with you. I just feel like that's a bumper sticker for you. Wisconsin doesn't like cheaters.
But I don't think we do, and I don't think we respect people who cheat. And I also think that across the political spectrum, people are tired of feeling like their legislators do not have to respond to what they want, what their constituents want. Medical marijuana, access to abortion, increased gun safety.
Increased funding for child care.
Increased funding for child care. I think most of us agree on a lot of those things. And because of the gerrymander, they simply don't have to respond and they can do whatever they want.
But what's interesting is to watch is, like we were just talking about before, even with the maps being the way they are now, with this growing dissent within one party, that gerrymandered map does not secure you. And while he did get reelected, Robin Voss
was close.
Squeaked by in a primary.
Right.
The powerful great popcorn king squeaks by. That says a lot too. I mean, maybe the maps, who knows, would help him more. Fair maps would help. I have no idea. But yes, I think you are right. Fair maps are the way to go. I think I would say 95% of the people agree fair maps. I'm sure there are some Democrats who are like, nah, it's time for revenge.
Oh, I don't doubt that. But that's not the way to go forward.
No,
not the way to get anything done.
Because they're going to go right back to court then.
Yes.
And start this all over again.
I'm just curious to see with this whole contiguous thing on whether or not the districts have to, be touching. So this is something that goes back about 50 years, and then they made some islands. Now you can have an island. And
This is the Kenny Rogers, Dolly Parton political case of islands in the stream. Political islands in the stream.
Yeah. That's
for people who don't know what we're talking about, what they literally have done is, instead of a district being all contained within one boundary, they have literally taken in some districts and said, okay, we're going to create a circle or whatever, and that's an island separate in somebody else's district. And it's bizarre. It's the epitome of gerrymandering, and it happened in Wisconsin.
Todd Alba, thank you so much for joining us every Monday from 10 to 11 o'clock.
Appreciate all of you.
Todd Alba's the best.
And listen to Todd's show right after ours from noon to 2. Stay with us. You're listening to As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network.